Every company on Earth is being scanned for weaknesses right now. The people who notice those scans before they turn into attacks are called threat hunters, and they're some of the most in-demand analysts in cybersecurity. Here's the part nobody tells you. Threat hunting is actually one of the best ways to start understanding cybersecurity, even if you can't code yet, because it's about how you think, how you connect clues across systems to predict attacks before they happen. In this video, I'll show you 5 threat intelligence skills you can start learning this weekend to start thinking and getting hired like a cyber analyst. If you want a guide that walks you through how to actually build these 5 skills, I put together a 30-day challenge called the Threat Intel Launchpad. It walks you through each step with tools, workflows, and a final project you can actually put on your resume. It's free, links below. By the end, you'll understand how real threat hunters trace hackers across continents, find signals in the chatter, and write reports that actually land jobs. What are you missing that threat analysts instantly see? Everyone gets into cybersecurity expecting firewalls exploding, zero-day chaos, and hoodie hackers typing like it's an Olympic sport. But the folks who actually stop breaches before they ever make headlines are essentially studying weather patterns, not chasing alerts. They see the storm building while the rest of the world is still sipping coffee. That's threat intelligence. It's the skill that turns the internet's constant chatter into an early warning system. Threat intelligence pros predict incidents. They read GitHub like it's a crime scene and catch tiny ripples in data before they become waves. And when those waves crash into production, they've already issued the warning and pulled everyone to high ground. Here's what'll surprise you. You can start today with the laptop you're on from your kitchen table without a badge, budget, or a $5,000 bootcamp to learn this. Now, let's be clear. You're not going to become a threat intel expert in a weekend, but you can start learning how these people think and, more importantly, how they see. So let's kick things off where most investigations actually start, with the trail attackers leave before they even strike. If someone posted your company's API keys online today, would you even know where to look for them? What if you could see the internet the way attackers do? Sometimes the biggest threats come from what we forget to lock down. Breaches tend to start the same way. A trail of digital breadcrumbs most people scroll past without a second glance. But threat analysts treat those breadcrumbs like GPS coordinates. That's the power of OSINT, or open source intelligence. It's the art of turning public data into private insight. And here's the wild part. Over 80 to 90% of what threat intel teams act on doesn't come from secret spy tools. It comes from Google, GitHub, Pastebin, Telegram, and S3 buckets someone left wide open. It's search skills. OSINT analysts spot leaked credentials on public repos, catch stolen PII being traded in obscure corners of the internet, and trace malware infrastructure before the malware even drops. Here's what's in their toolkit. Shodan.io lets you scan the internet for exposed devices like unsecured webcams, industrial controls, or forgotten dev servers. Then Maltego maps relationships between people, domains, and infrastructure like a conspiracy board you can actually navigate. Then there's Spiderfoot HX, which automates the messy parts of recon, connecting dots across dozens of sources. And then we have trusty Google Dorking, which are advanced search operators that dig up files people didn't mean to expose, but absolutely did. When used together, these tools unlock a new layer of the internet, the oh shit, I didn't realize that was public layer. And this isn't gray hat stuff, despite what many people may think. OSINT stays legal because it sticks to what's publicly accessible. You're watching, documenting, and warning, but not intruding. Because in the right hands, visibility saves companies, but in the wrong hands, it wrecks them. So once you know what attackers can see, how do you figure out who's actually watching? Who's really behind the keyboard and what do they want? Every attack has fingerprints, but it's the person leaving them that changes everything. You can patch software and block IPs all day, but until you know who's on the other side of the screen, you're basically fighting ghosts. Threat actor profiling is where cybersecurity turns into detective work. Analysts dig through scraps of digital evidence like IPs, malware hashes, and phishing domains, and start building a picture of the human behind the breach. It's a slow, obsessive kind of puzzle solving. But once you recognize a threat actor's habits, you can see their next move coming before they make it. Every attacker leaves behavioral DNA. That could be compile times, reuse code snippets, time zone clues, even their favorite tool chains. If you connect enough dots, then you start seeing patterns that point to the specific threat groups. This is the cyber equivalent of handwriting analysis. That's where MITRE ATT&CK becomes the analyst compass. Over 84% of intel teams rely on it to decode attacker behaviors. not just what happened, but how and why it happened. Some profiles are practically folklore at this point. First, we have APT-29, aka Cozy Bear. They're Russian intelligence and masters of staying invisible. Then there's Lazarus Group. They're the infamous North Korean operators funding regimes through crypto heists. Then we have APT-28, also known as Fancy Bear, who are precision spearfishing experts with political timing sharper than election cycles. These are repeat offenders in a global digital chess match. Each group has its tells, like its favorite exploits, infrastructure quirks, or even linguistic fingerprints buried in code comments. Profiling turns faceless data into human patterns that could be ideology, greed, revenge, or power. It's behavioral forensics at internet scale, because once you know who's attacking you and why, you can start predicting what's actually next. And that raises a crucial question. If you can spot who's behind the attack, can you also trace the invisible trail they leave behind? You're seeing how analysts use public data to predict attacks. The Threat Intel Launchpad gives you a 30-day structure to practice this, even if you're starting from zero. How do you decode the fingerprints attackers leave behind? Every attacker leaves evidence. The problem is that it's buried in millions of meaningless data points. That's where indicator analysis comes in. It's the art of turning technical breadcrumbs into a full-blown storyline. Analysts study indicators of compromise, or IOCs, which are those suspicious IPs, file hashes, and rogue domains most people scroll right past, and they piece them together into the anatomy of an attack. It's part science and part intuition. A single domain might look harmless on its own, but combine it with a suspicious registry change, a weird process execution, and expired SSL cert, and suddenly you've got a live intrusion unfolding in slow motion. The real skill isn't in finding indicators, it's in connecting them. Analysts pull data from global databases like VirusTotal, ThreatFox, and Abuse IPDB, enriching every clue with context. When was this domain registered? What malware families use it? What else calls home to the same IP? And that's how investigators cracked the SolarWinds attack wide open, stitching together a random trail of DNS queries, PowerShell commands, and signed binaries until one truth emerged. It was a long game infiltration by APT-29. This is where threat intelligence becomes storytelling. Each indicator becomes a breadcrumb, which connects to a motive. And before you know it, you've mapped an entire campaign from dust. The best analysts listen to the data, spot rhythm and randomness, and turn static into signal. Because intelligence is about interpreting, not collecting. It's what turns a pile of technical noise into foresight that actually protects people. And once you've built that picture, once you've decoded the how, who, and why, there's one last challenge. How do you explain it to people in a way that actually makes them act? How do you turn raw chaos into clarity people actually care about? You can uncover the most advanced malware on the planet, but if you can't explain it in a way that makes people act, it's wasted brilliance. That's where threat report writing separates analysts from amateurs. Because finding a breach is just half of the story. The real impact comes when your words move a team, a CISO, or an entire organization to do something different tomorrow morning. Great threat reports translate adversity into action. They turn "oh no" into "here's what we do next." Analysts who master this tailor their message like strategists. So tactical reports go straight to the front lines. They're short, urgent, and packed with indicators defenders can deploy now. Operational reports give blue teams the attacker's playbook, their methods, infrastructure, and campaign rhythm. Strategic reports brief executives on motive, risk, and consequence, turning cyber chaos into business language that drives funding and decisions. And because threat intel is sensitive by nature, every report follows the Traffic Light Protocol, or TLP for short. This is the unspoken code of trust. So TLP red means internal eyes only. TLP amber means limited sharing with trusted circles. TLP green is shared inside the community, and TLP white is cleared for public release. When Log4j detonated across the internet, Mandiant published four reports. It was the same threat, but four different audiences. Writing like this is defense. It makes your intel useful, credible, and actionable. Because if your story doesn't land, your discovery dies in an inbox. And once you can communicate threat data with that level of clarity, then the next question almost writes itself. If you've learned to explain the past, how do you start predicting what's already happening in the present? How do you hunt the threats no one's talking about yet? The quiet attacks are the killers, but that's where threat hunters thrive, in the calm before the storm. They don't wait for SIM alerts or flashy logs, they start with a single question. What if something's already here, hiding where no one's looked? Threat hunting is the art of chasing patterns your automation will never catch. It's hypothesis-driven sleuthing, intuition sharpened by data. You form a theory, test it against telemetry, and follow your curiosity into the depths of process logs, registry events, and DNS traffic until you catch a glimpse of something real. That's how Microsoft's threat hunters caught the early signs of SolaraGate, weeks before the rest of the world even realized it existed. They saw a strange process creation events repeating across environments, pivoted, and uncovered one of the most sophisticated espionage campaigns in history. Hunters chase behaviors. They notice things like PowerShell pulling files directly from an IP with no DNS involved, a signed process spawning an unsigned binary, or a domain registered 24 hours before a phishing wave. Those signal intent, encoded in data. Threat hunting takes every other skill, OSINT, profiling, indicator analysis, and reporting, and flips the power dynamic. Real hunters go looking, and they find things others miss. And the best part? You don't need a job title or six-figure lab to start. You just need curiosity, persistence, and a willingness to follow questions most people never even think to ask. So now that you can think like an analyst, see like an attacker, and hunt like a ghost, how do you turn all of that into a career that actually changes your life? Where do you go once you've learned to see the chaos coming? You've seen what threat analysts look for, you've worked through the core skills, and you're starting to recognize the early signs of compromise before it even unfolds. And that's the point, not mastery, exposure. These five skills are how analysts train their eyes. OSINT collection is spotting exposed data before attackers do. Threat actor profiling is understanding who's behind the activity. Indicator analysis is linking scattered artifacts into patterns. Threat report writing is explaining risk in a way that makes people act, and threat hunting is finding the threats before tools do. If you're serious about learning this and want to go hands-on with them, actually building something you can point to, grab the Threat Intel Launchpad. It's a guided beginner challenge that walks you through your first real threat intel project step by step. By the end, you'll have something solid enough to add to your resume, LinkedIn, or your second brain. The more you practice, the faster your brain gets at spotting what doesn't look right. Log what you learn, revisit it, build your second brain early, the one that holds every tactic, tool, and pattern that you've studied. You're already in the work. If this helped you start seeing the chaos before it hits, hit like, drop a comment, and subscribe for more breakdowns just like this. So now that you've got eyes on the bigger picture, what's your next move?